It's horribly misnamed to call this Good Friday. It's only possible in such an inverted world that our words don't mean anything anymore that we could call it that if we saw what had happened that Friday. When words, ideas, and people seem to have taken an unexpected, unexplainable turnabout. It would begin when Jesus was arrested. And one who had professed fealty and love for Jesus, one who had been with him for 3 years, one who was sent out with all the other chosen 12 to minister in his name, to preach the kingdom and to heal, would betray him. Not one of those who were with him in those years said, "You know, keep an eye on Judas. He doesn't seem like the rest of us. He behaves just like everyone else." But we know the treasurer was a thief. And in a dirty deal, in an act of spycraft, he will give a sign of affection to Mark Jesus. He'll kiss him. And anyone who decides to love liberally and deeply a sinful person will know what it is to take someone made of broken glass with sharp shards everywhere and pull them near to themselves. And if they love with an enduring love, it won't just wound them. It would be the kind of thing that would kill them. Judas, though, wasn't a monster. He seems too much like us to ignore. Someone was near but had his own agenda. Someone who was near but desired his own ends. He's a man, and we're stuck with that, being people who stand near Jesus but often sin against him, wanting our own agendas. But the guy who was trusted with the money ultimately would turn from Jesus. And it says in John's gospel that a band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus, bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Stripping with irony. The guards who were there to protect the religion of the people, who were there to protect the temple and the word, are the ones who shackle the very one that the word testifies of. The turnabout has become so dizzying, we don't know what we're doing with our religion at times. And then there's Caiaphas, the high priest, and the great irony of his words. When he would think the murder of Jesus would protect him from power, but really he would prophesy. It truly was expedient that this one man would die so that the people could live. That one would suffer. One would become the sacrificial lamb at the hands of those priests. And that one would open up this much of a window into the enduring love of our God. And like a tsunami, we'd never be able to hold that door shut if we stood in its path. He would, with divine love and justice, destroy the things that most confine us about man-made religions. But false witnesses are brought forward, and their hurt is more true than the word. When Jesus is chained, he's kicked from jurisdiction to jurisdiction because nobody wants to make this call, it seems. He's charged with saying he was a king who would supplant Caesar and the power of Rome. And when he finds himself before Rome's man in Judea, Pilate asks, "Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "You say it rightly when you say that I am, and I speak truth." And Pilate walks away with a question he doesn't intend an answer for. What's truth? He's another man who's not a monster. Matter of fact, he seems a lot like modern man today, who sings the anthem of the agnostic over and over again. We can't know what truth is. It's just with a sorry shake of the head that we have to walk away without ever being known and knowing what truth is. But there's truth that night. It's at stake. Pilate realized the truth is he has this man's life in his hands on some level. And he pleads with Jesus, says, "Don't you see? I have the power to crucify you or to let you go." And Jesus reminds him of the great irony that the one in chains actually has all the power in this drama. That was the truth. His fate was already sealed. The lies of the religious, the corrupt power of the justice system, Pilate couldn't make a call that day. With all Rome's power behind him, he remained indecisive and said, "I'm just going to wash my hands of this." And what happens, happens. How much like so many of us he is on that moment. Where we know, confronted with the truth, this is what we should do, this is what we should not do, this is how we must live if we believe these things. And we sort of shake the dice and say, "Well, whatever happens, happens. I wash my hands of the culpability of this. That night, it says, they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, Jesus between them. And Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the inscription, for the place was where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I'm King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Jesus had told them before. He told his disciples plainly, it said in Matthew 16, he'd be taken to Jerusalem, crucified outside the city, and would die. But who can remember such things in the trauma and busyness of such a day as this? Perhaps they'd remember something longer ago, in the beginning of their walk with him, when they heard John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in this moment of irony, the king in chains, the priest left handed over by the priests, will become the sacrificial Lamb of God. The rest of the people, even Peter who swore, I'll never deny you, have run and hid. Peter who once said, where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. Now the words weren't enough when he saw the cost of death so near. Jesus' mother was faithful and John the apostle. And then one other ironic person, a prostitute named Mary, a woman who had never been faithful to a man except on the rental business for a short time for money. And far away, Peter couldn't even imagine the words he would speak later when he would say, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And the clarity and confusion meld, and the irony moves to antinomy. Antinomy is that notion that there are two things that seem like they can't possibly be true at the same time, but they are. That in that stark and terrible day, eternal God died. That creatures would kill the creator. And as men and women committed theicide unaware and stained the earth with the blood of Christ, all the while, the hand of God was moving, skillfully planned by foreknowledge through such obscenities. God, who works all things for good, even the death of his perfect son. Not good things, but all things. It was true he was a king. And it was true he was a sacrifice, that it would be expedient for him to lay down his life, because it was only in the death of that sacrifice, in the final movements of the plan of God, that the pale Galilean would conquer the world. But at Good Friday, it's ours to realize and rest in the deep bitterness that we are the Judases and we are the Pilates of the story. That our reality of sin demands the sacrifice of the Savior. That the glory that would be Jesus would only open through a door of terrible suffering built by us, sin by sin. We'll have a moment to reflect on this. There'll be another worship song. Then there'll be some slides up with some words about the crucifixion. So I want to ask you to take your time. Think on those. Let them fill you. There'll be another song where we close, and then I'll just ask that you leave quietly. This is a night that should have a heaviness when we go, but engage this night, because it's only through realizing fully who Jesus is that you'll be able to worship him most fully when it becomes Easter Sunday.